Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on News Talk 870. I'm Tom Coyne with Umpqua Bank Home Loan Division here in Tri-Cities. We always like to start out the show by thanking the radio station and everyone here helping to make the show happen. Mm-hmm. And that includes you, Mr. John McKay. How are you doing?
Good. And you might have noticed by now that Lance is not doing the intro.
Yes, that is true. We have
you
a little bit.
Hijacked him, didn't you?
We have a little different show today. We actually let Lance go on vacation. Doesn't happen very often, but he was able to get out of the show today. And it's actually his birthday. And he went with his lovely wife, I guess, surprised him down to Las Vegas. So,
Very excited
for him. So that should be fun. And it kind of is a good segue for us, John, actually, because I was told that Karen got Lance some tickets to the Britney Spears concert. That was my reaction too. But
when he hears this on the podcast, he is just going to flip. No, but he's the kind of type of guy that I don't think is ever his. You know, when a little kid is running and you pick him up off the ground, the parent and the legs are still going. No. That's how Lance is. He just never stops moving.
Yeah, this is true. And apparently, he is also a Britney Spears fan, which is cool. And so he was able to go to that concert. And we, of course, like to start out with our celebrity real estate story. And guess who I found in the news?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears just bought a sprawling Southern California estate. What are the chances of this? This is great. Lance, like you said, he's going to love this podcast for my intro.
Oh, yeah.
So she bought a 20-acre spread outside Los Angeles. It's a 5-bedroom, 7.5 bath. The views are absolutely amazing of these rolling hills in the background. Mm-hmm. It's got the infinity pool, the spa that looks over the hills. It's got hand-carved fountains, a 3-green golf course, which is pretty incredible.
See, when you said 5 bedrooms, bathrooms, I'm thinking, okay, that's not too big. But then you throw in the golf course, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and it also has a tennis court, a basketball court, a 1,000-square-foot pool that has its own kitchen and own bathroom, and a 3,800-bottle wine cellar.
Wow.
Yeah, incredible. So, deluxe master suite with a beautiful balcony, 35-foot high ceilings in the great room, breakfast nooks with fireplaces everywhere, oak panel library. I mean, the house is gorgeous. So she just got that 2-year extension down there at Planet Hollywood for her show in Vegas. So that might have helped out a little bit.
Yeah. Plus all the royalties that she still gets, even though, you know, it's been a few years since she's had hits, but people don't always realize that, you know, you even if you've only had 4 or 5 big hits, if you're a musician, if they did well, you're going to continue to get those fat royalty checks, because every time your song is played on the radio, well, here's a handful of change. And when you're talking thousands of radio stations and other music licensing through commercials, it adds up.
Yeah, it adds up. Well, think of all those iTunes downloads. And
oh, yeah. They are fat.
Something tells me she's doing just fine for herself.
She's not having any problems.
Not at all.
So we also always like to go over some local news. And what I thought I'd talk today about is interest rates. They are incredibly low right now. And it really makes purchasing a home as an investment property or even a property to live in a really great opportunity. Now, I did come across an article on Yahoo News today that was highlighting an interview with Federal Reserve President William Dudley. Now, he said this last Thursday that an interest rate increase by the central bank remained possible if the economic data that stayed in line with what they're forecasting it to be. He then, however, went on to say that there's been recent data that's indicated that the economy is actually slowing, and that's mostly due to sluggish retail sales. Now, he was careful not to say whether a rate hike was imminent or not, but he did point out again that if the economy keeps moving in line with what the Fed forecasts, he would favor a rate increase by the end of the year. Now, this would be actually the first rate increase in the last 9 years since they raised rates. So that would be incredible. Now, we have a special guest in with the studio here with us, and it's Jennifer Cifuentes. Sorry. She is a senior credit analyst with Umpqua Bank, works right next door to me in the commercial lending division. So very excited to have her on the show as we talk so much about residential lending and not so much about commercial lending. So, Jennifer, first tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you do at Umpqua? How long have you been in the Tri-Cities?
Thanks, Tom. I am a credit analyst at Quad Bank. I service the Tri-Cities team, which is a makeup of four lenders to service all of the commercial loans for Quad Bank. I've been in the Tri-Cities around almost 19 years, going on 19 years.
Okay, great.
The weekend I moved, I started at the bank the very next Monday. So I came for my job with then Sterling, now Umpqua.
All right, so you've been through some transitions.
I've been through some transitions, yes.
Okay, great. So how did you get your start in commercial lending?
I started out in the retail offices. Always loved doing work for businesses. So that was my next step in my career. And 10 years ago, I haven't looked back.
Okay, awesome. So you said you service four different lenders, and I know them, but for everyone who doesn't, that's Joe Ed and Charlie and Matt and Jim in our office. And so tell me, like, a client comes in and they talk to one of them, and then what's your role in that transaction or that process?
Yeah, after our loan officers have talked with clients, they are asked clients for financial information. So once that is collected, we typically get approximately around 3 years of information, both business and personal. And then I take it and spread it and create formulas that will establish repayments.
Okay, gotcha. And then that documentation then goes off to, it's similar to an underwriter is what the term I would use.
Correct.
Right?
It's a second look at what we have presented locally. So someone takes a look, kind of checks over our work. They will give the thumbs up or the approval, final approval.
Or they say, we need other documentation.
Correct.
or anything. Now, I know something that's also different than what we do is, like, I know in residential lending, when we approve a loan, that loan's approved. We don't come back to the client later and say, hey, we need updated financials or updated bank statements or anything like that. But do you guys have to do that on the commercial side?
Commercial side is sometimes a work in progress. Things sometimes take longer. If you have environmental issues that could delay the process, it's not unheard of that if it's been longer than 60, 90 days that we might seek additional information. Typically, not if it's been approved once, you're going to stay approved unless...
Right. Okay.
Something happens.
Well, good. That's good to know.
Well, because of the business, you know, you're talking about large parcels of land, industrial buildings, you know,
correct,
research, a lot of the small micro businesses around here that manufacture specialty products. Yeah, you're not, you know, when you're home, unless they built you on top of an old landfill,
yeah,
you're not going to have environmental issues.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But you got the ups and downs of businesses that we see obviously in town. Now, there's other commercial lenders out there. What do you think differentiates us at Umpqua with commercial lending?
Well, Umpqua is definitely a larger base community bank, so our backing behind the size of loans that we can do is greater. We still have the regional approvals. They are familiar with Eastern Washington. They work close with our team, so there isn't shipping off to central ICE departments.
Okay, got it. So it's kind of a more of a local feel, more personal, and you're able to build those relationships.
Correct.
With your clients.
Yes, and our team actually has underwriting authority. So loans up to $300,000, we can approve it on site.
Well, that's excellent. Now, what are the typical loan amounts that you guys deal with?
We are looking, you know, it's a wide range. We're looking, Tri-Cities isn't a large market, but we do have the larger businesses that are in the $2 million, $3 million ranges. But we've also done loans as small as $50,000.
Okay, got it. Now, what are some of the, I know every bank has like a product that they like or one business segment that they really like to focus on. I mean, what are some of the products that we like to focus on? And what does Umpqua really have a desire to do?
Umpqua has a real desire to do C&I lending, which is commercial and industrial.
Okay.
We're looking at doing equipment financing, owner-occupied real estate, operating lines of credit, asset-based lines of credit. Those are our niche.
Okay. Okay, excellent. Well, good to know. Are there certain things that we try to stay away from?
We still have a bad taste for acquisition and development.
Okay.
Construction is still a little bit hard, but we're getting into that. We have several construction or projects going on currently. Okay. So as we get our feet wet back into that industry, those will be opening up as well.
So if someone wants to say do a new construction on a commercial building, are we kind of maybe entertaining the idea on a case-by-case basis?
Definitely.
Okay. So don't stray away if you're thinking about building a commercial building, as we'll have to evaluate your financials.
Definitely.
And maybe you'll put some together for us. Now, what do you think the niche, like, I know what I think our niche products are, and that's maybe our construction loan. Like, what is the commercial lending's niche product that you guys have? Like, what do you think you just do better than anyone else?
Well, you know, we also like real estate. Owner-occupied real estate is great. It's also able to incorporate the business piece of it as well. So business owners that own buildings need operating lines of credit, need equipment financing. Those are what we like to do.
Okay, great. Well, we are coming up on our first break. So when we return, we're going to talk more with Jennifer about some more commercial lending things that we're dealing with now. And I'm going to touch base on residential investment properties when we return.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to this week's edition of the Tri-City Real Estate Update. This is Tom with Umpqua Home Loans. Again, you're not hearing the normal voice you're used to hearing. Lance is on vacation, so I'm trying to keep the show exciting. So how am I doing so far, John?
Very good.
Okay,
very good.
Great.
And like I said before, if you weren't listening in the first segment, we disclosed the fact that we understand, our sources have told us, that he's going to be attending a Britney Spears show in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
So when he hears this podcast, he's going to come up with something.
You know,
he will.
He's either going to be extremely proud or he's going to be a little upset that I spilled the beans. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see how that goes. Now, before we went to break, we were talking with Jennifer Cifuentes from our commercial lending division with Umpqua. She works right next door to me.
Yes.
And we got a lot of good information about some of the things that Umpqua likes to do and some of the products we like to focus on and what differentiates us. But I want to know more of, like, how's the process work? Like, walk me through from start to finish. What is a business coming in? They're wanting to get a loan of some sort, and what are the steps that they have to go through?
Typically, it's a collection of a lot of financial information. You know, that's what we underwrite to show repayment for those loans. So you're looking at collecting financial, both business and personal, which then gets sent to me. We underwrite it, send it to our either our regional approval, which is Jim Huey, or our underwriter out of Spokane, who then comes back and says, yes, this looks good, or we need additional information. If there's real estate involved, then we're looking at appraisals and environmentals, which could take up to 30 days to gain. So we're looking at least 30 days from start to finish. Sometimes it takes longer if there is environmental issues. There are additional reports that need to be made. So in between 30 to 60 days.
60 days, that's what I was going to say.
On real estate, equipment, financing, lines of credit, it's shortest 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So depending on whether we have a complete financial picture.
So it really depends on the product that we're doing. Now, when someone comes in, is there like a standard, we need the last 2 years tax returns or bank statements? Like, what are the standard things you're needing?
We like to see 3 years. Three years shows a good trend. If there's any ups and downs in there, we could see, you know, a recovery process or a lot of differentiation between 3 years. 2 years isn't quite enough information to see.
Okay, you want a little bit more of a pattern on earnings. Now, let's say someone, by now everyone should have their personal returns done, hopefully. Let's say a month ago someone came in September and they didn't have their personal returns. Are you getting profit and losses? Or do you want to make sure you have as current information as possible?
We make sure there's a current interim statement As well to support the current fiscal year.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, for the listeners out there, if you're thinking that you might need some commercial financing, you know, and you're wondering what documentation you're going to need, you know, reach out to Jennifer at our Umpqua office here in town, and she could definitely give you a better idea of what to expect. Now, what have you seen? Like, how have you seen the industry change over the last few years from, I know you've been in it for, you said 19 years, right?
I've been in banking for 19 years, commercial for 10 years.
10 years. So you've probably seen a lot of changes in the last 10 years.
10 years, we've seen a lot of changes.
So what are some of the big ones?
Big ones, well, the economic downturn in 2009, 2008, we saw a lot of tightening. There wasn't a lot of lending going out, and businesses were hurting.
Right.
So that was, and I was a loan officer during that time, so I was able to see, you know, companies that were once strong, they took a hit. Right. Everyone took a hit. It's nice to see it now that things are recovering. I think Tri-Cities was a little bit sheltered in that economic downturn, but we did see some. And it's nice that we're lending again. We are seeing businesses look to refinance. They're growing.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, we went through the same things on the residential side where in 2008, 9, 10, it was getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And some of these programs that we used to have were going away.
Right.
And then...
like the ARMs and all that you'd mentioned, you know,
yeah,
some
the
of the
ARMs.
The riskier.
Programs, yeah, they're completely... don't exist.
You know, I think we talked about it a couple shows ago, John, where we were talking about like stated income loans or no income
loans.
Yeah,
there's no handshake loans any longer.
Yeah, yeah. No more. Now, for some businesses, I think stated income was a good product in certain circumstances for the self-employed borrower, not for the guy who worked at Subway, right?
But, right.
And that's where I think a lot of those products were getting taken away from because they were getting abused. But it's really interesting that, you know, residential and commercial, even though completely different in a lot of ways, very similar in that when the economy started going down, the lenders were really tightening up their guidelines. And then as it started improving here in the last couple of years, it's loosening back up and, yeah, and more products becoming available. But you also were talking about how business were struggling. So I can only imagine a business owner and maybe they're needing to get funds to buy more equipment. And they just couldn't go out and get the funds.
Right. There was a time where we weren't lending. So that made it difficult for a business to grow, to show that they can service those loans.
Right. Wow. Well, I'm glad we're getting through that and getting forward. So looking forward in the future, what are you thinking are some challenges that we have on the horizon, or is there anything coming up that you're expecting and things could change?
You know, I think we need to learn a lesson from that economic downturn. Still, as things start moving, things start appreciating, values get higher and higher, lending on those higher values still has a risk today. So we just need to be prudent in our underwriting, make sure that we are covering multiple scenarios.
Right.
Careful.
Careful.
Being
exactly.
Careful, covering our bases. And yeah, and I think we're seeing lenders do that more and more where, you know, when a client comes in, I try to tell them, I'm going to come back to you once, maybe even twice, and ask for additional documentation. And it's not because we're trying to run you through the ringer or make this a hard process on you. It's that the banks are more than ever making sure we have all their bases covered.
Correct.
And if we don't and we don't feel comfortable, then we're just not going to lend you money. But picture like this, John. You go up to a complete stranger and say, can I have $200,000?
Yeah.
Right?
You're going to be like, no. How are you going to pay me back?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Probably the first thing that comes to mind.
Right. And then you're going to say, prove it. Right? And
yeah.
So everything that you put on paper and all the things that we have to document, the income and the assets, we got to verify everything. So it's just part of lending now, but I think we would all agree it's for the better because look at what the lack of that over the last, you know, 10 years did, and it affected everyone. And I think everyone knows somebody who lost a job or maybe even worse, lost a house or a business
right.
That was struggling. And I think the guidelines were too lax. And so we saw it got a lot tighter and it has loosened up a little bit. But I think the core of it is like verifying tax returns, where one of the coolest things I think that we do now is get tax return transcripts, where previously someone could bring in a tax return that they prepared online but never
filed it,
yep. Right? And so they give us this tax return, and we're assuming it's filed, but really they just prepared it online and then printed it off and brought it to a lender. But they started requiring these tax return transcripts, and it's how we verify that what a client is giving us is what was actually filed with the IRS. So it's these extra layers of safety that's put in and safeguards to ensure that lenders are doing their due diligence and making sure that everyone's really qualified and meeting the guidelines for the program.
And not bringing you stuff written on a napkin.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I owe you.
Yeah.
So we got the commercial side. I want to talk about residential lending just a little bit. And if you're looking to purchase a one-unit investment property, we're going to require a 15% down payment. However, at that, interest rates are fairly high, and you're going to have really high mortgage insurance. And I generally try to get to 20% down. A lot of times, if someone can get to 15% down payment, they probably have a way to come up with 20% down. By going to 20% down, you get out of the mortgage insurance. And there's also a significant drop in the interest rate for putting 20% down. However, things get even better if you're able to put 25% down. So shoot for 25% or settle for 20. And you're going to get yourself in a better situation with lower interest rates and out of the mortgage insurance.
Well, think of it this way, too, and a great analogy is when you're buying a vehicle. If you walk in there with a car or a vehicle that's paid for, mm-hmm. and maybe you've got some extra cash, you are going to get a far better rate than if you go in. You hear about people saying, I'm upside down in this car. I mm-hmm. still owe $7,000. Well, they've got to tack that on to the price. So, you know, instead of a $20,000 car, you're going to pay 27 or 28.
Right. And I kind of look at it like this. Is people ask, well, how come it's so much more money down for an investment property than an owner-occupied? And I think of it like, if you're having financial problems and you're struggling to make your payments, are you going to make the house payment of the house that you live in with your wife and your kids? Or are you going to make the house payment for Bob Smith in your rental? Right. Yeah. So that one will be the first to foreclose if times got tough. So I think that's a lot of the reason that banks want to build in that equity position. So if things do go wrong, that they're able to turn the property and recoup their funds in it. Now, residential is 1 to 4 units. So anything over 4 units, that's going to become a commercial loan when you're going to talk with Jennifer and her team. So we'll do 1 to 4 unit properties. Now, if you are wanting to purchase a 2-unit or even a 4-unit, it's a little bit higher down payment requirements. So feel free to call and we can chat about that. But we have clients a lot of times that will purchase, say, a 2-unit or 4-unit property as owner-occupied. Now, let's say you're doing an FHA loan. You're planning on living in one of the units. You can get in with as little as 3.5% down. So it's a really great way for a client to get into the rental market and become a landlord and start increasing the cash flow from tenants with just the 3.5% down payment. Now, it's just got to make sense. If you're living in a $300,000 single-family home right now, and you want to go buy a $200,000 fourplex, and you're going to tell us you're going to live in it, the underwriter's probably not going to buy it, right?
Right.
Because they're going to say, that doesn't make sense. Who's going to move out of a single-family home and into a fourplex? So it has to make sense. But maybe you're a first-time home buyer, and you're looking for a little extra help with the house payment while you're getting the hang of owning a new home. A duplex is a great idea because you have someone on the other side. You're able to keep close tabs on them because you're living right next door. And, you can look at getting in with an FHA loan and just the 3.5% down payment. Now, let's say I want to talk about a situation where maybe someone has a home they own right now and they're looking to upgrade, they're looking to buy a new home, and the new home is going to be owner occupied, but they're going to convert their current home to a rental property. We used to have to document 30% equity in the property you're vacating in order to use prospective rental income to help you qualify for the next house. That rule just went away. We no longer have to document 30% equity.
Wow.
So it's made it a lot easier for people who want to keep their current house, turn it into a rental, and then go buy a new property owner-occupied. And what I like is that owner-occupied, you can get in 5% down on a conventional loan as long as it's a single-family home. And so you're not having to sell your current property and get that equity to be able to make a large down payment because you don't necessarily need it. So if you're thinking, thinking, well, maybe we'll just convert our current house to a rental. And as long as, you know, we just get a copy of a lease agreement, a security deposit that you have it rented out, and maybe they're moving in the same time you're moving out to your new home, we don't have to document 30% equity. We'll give you 75% of the market rent on that property to count towards qualifying. So let's say you're renting it for $1,000, 75% of that, $750, and we can use that to help offset the monthly payment. So that is a really, really nice feature, and not having to get that 30% equity is just another example of what we were just talking about, guidelines loosening up a little bit.
Very good. And at a time, didn't you have to show rental income of 6 months?
Well, actually, Freddie Mac still does have a requirement, and FHA rolled out some new guidelines that you actually have to show 2 years history of being a landlord before you can use it. So, you know, it's interesting because Fannie Mae just loosened their guidelines with regard to rentals, and FHA just made them stricter. So every program is different, and every situation is different. So I always tell people, you know, let's take an application for you. Let's see what your specific situation is, and we'll see what program fits your needs, because they're all different. And there seems like there's a lot of rules out there. And you almost forget how many there are until you run into a situation and you start having to recall it.
That's why they need to see you guys.
So let's talk about, again, I mentioned rates before the break and how good they are right now. Maybe you're thinking you might want to refinance your investment property. We'll go up to 75% loan to value. And what that means is your loan cannot be higher than 75% of what the house is worth. Now, with how low rates are right now, you might be able to refinance to a new 30-year if maybe you're retired and you're more concerned with not paying the house off, but having higher cash flow today to help you live on. If you're able to refinance your house and drop to a lower interest rate, maybe you stick with a 30-year loan, you're going to increase that cash flow. Or maybe you look at the investment property as more of a long-term deal where you're not necessarily as focused on earning the extra cash flow today, because maybe your job helps you get by just fine. But maybe you are more focused on, okay, I'm going to look at this as a long-term savings account. Like myself, that's how I look at my rentals. And you want to put them on a 15-year loan so that they get paid off sooner. With how low these rates are, you might be able to refinance to a 15-year. Maybe your payment doesn't change, or maybe you're still even cash flowing at the 15-year. And it's just absolutely incredible with how low rates are. Like we talked about, Mr. Dudley from the Feds, he kind of was leading to, still it's possible that rates increase, but we really don't know. So I want to go over ways to come up with a down payment for your investment property. First off, I want to say it was 401k. And a lot of people don't want to touch their 401k. Mm-hmm. But I look at real estate as a part of the overall retirement portfolio. And if you're able to borrow from one of your retirement accounts, being your 401k, and putting it in to, say, an investment property, who's another portion of your retirement portfolio, then I'm all for it. Now, I don't like when people pull money from a 401k to go buy a boat, but if you're using it and investing it into more real estate, it's a good idea. You also might be able to look at equity in your current residence. Maybe you have funds that you could borrow out of the equity in your primary residence, buy another rental, or of course, the good old fashioned way to save up for a down payment.
Yeah.
So we covered a lot of great stuff on the show. Of course, we went over all about commercial lending with Umpqua, and then touched on some residential investment property financing. Jennifer, if someone has questions on commercial financing, or they want to dive deeper into their situation or have questions about what we went over, who do they call?
They call us directly. Call Jim Huey, Matt Backlund, Charlie Gray, Joe Ed Garoya. Any of us can help.
Okay, perfect. And what's the number they call?
They call 509-491-6820.
And of course, you can always call me if you have questions or you want to get in touch with them. So if you're interested in commercial financing, investment properties, feel free to call. You can reach me at 783-7300. You can go to my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we kept you guys fairly entertained this week with Lance being gone. But we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.